Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan's in today, 216-474-0092. It is a game day for your Cleveland Browns, a game you'll be able to hear right here on 92.3 The Fan as they take on Carolina. We've got all your pregame, postgame, whatever you need. But the other big story, and I think it's gigantic, and it's the way they've been playing. They've been playing great. It's the Guardians. Tonight, they are in Chicago. I mean, talk about a chance to make some hay when you're six games back in the Central. Can't even believe I'm talking about the Central. You're a game and a half back in the wild card to try to get back in this thing. And a month ago, it felt like it was all over. They start tonight at 7:40. Let's get some insight onto what's going on with the Gardos. And we talked to our good friend, Chris Ostenheimer. You know him and you love him and you read him in the paper every day because he is a great read. And he is on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
What's happening, man?
Guys, how's it going?
How you feeling? I know you're a little under the weather there.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm back on my feet.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we got to make sure that you were reading me in the Chronicle Telegram.
I'm like Kwani. You know,
you're back.
He dealt with the wrist and everything, and he's overcome it. And that's, you know, being the same type of true warrior, have overcome this.
Yeah. What if they would have traded you over to the News Herald full time? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think it would have been devastating for the clubhouse over there at the Chronicle Telegram. True?
Oh, I don't even. They probably would have just shut down.
All right, give me your read on the team right now, because I'll tell you, this is fun. This is fun, because we sit here, we talk, oh, they play 162, and when they were 15 and a half out, we were like, oh, the season sucks, this is brutal, I can't believe it. And now they've made things very exciting.
No, yeah, they haven't, and guess who looks like a genius? And he didn't look like that during the 10-game losing streak, but Stephen Vogt. I mean, during the slide, and I understand what else is he going to say, but he kept saying, you know, this is the lineup. I believe in these guys. They're going to take us where we need to go. Very confident. And again, I understand why he had to say that, but I think that did something for the guys in the clubhouse too. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we're not doing this, we're not doing that. He maintained that they were still playing good baseball. They just weren't getting big hits. And so he stuck with these guys. They didn't add anybody. They kept Kwan. And I think these guys are playing with a lot of confidence, and I think they really got motivation from their manager, you know, sticking behind him and saying, hey, we're not going to start sending guys down, trading guys, DFAing guys, and stuff like that. And I think that's been a big part of it. And also the Tigers not playing well at all, that's another part, but that aside, I mean, it's been a remarkable turnaround, to say the least, and I think Stephen Vogt deserves a lot of credit for it.
The funny part too, Chris, is, you know, much as nobody likes to talk about any of this stuff when it comes to baseball, some of this is just luck. Like, some of it is just a ball bouncing the right way. I mean, David Fry bunted a ball in the air. It was a really bad bunt in that extra inning game, and it bounced, and the Mets threw it away. And it's like, okay, that you got a bounce going in the right direction. How much of that do you think was maybe even playing to this day? Hey, during that 10-game skid, you just ran into some bad luck. And now things are turning.
I think that's a lot of it. And listen, I mean, you still look at that lineup, and it's not scaring anyone. I understand that. But they're starting pitching. I mean, I'll take that. I mean, it top two for sure. And – you know, hopefully Bybee can find some consistency down the stretch. But yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, they weren't getting the big hit. They weren't getting the breaks. They were playing terrible defense, and that wasn't helping for sure. But yeah, I think that it's, as they say all the time, you know, it's baseball.
All right. They decide not to make a move with Kwan at the break. And I know you've been in that clubhouse time and time again after the trade deadline. And you know psychologically what that can do. And you're coming off of two pitchers getting, you know, investigated for gambling allegations. I can't think of anything worse than that. And then they didn't make a move, and they kept a guy. And everything went in the right direction. It like when they write the story of no matter how the season ends, that is going to be a major plot line. Just Walk me out. Is it vote or is it the fact that the front office said, we're going to hang on to Kwan because we think you're playing better now and we're going to try to maintain this and well, you guys can still go for this. We're not going to take that away from you.
I think that is the biggest reason this is happening. I mean, yes, Stephen Vogt, it's all goes back to that, the confidence. Like they weren't just cut. If they would have gotten rid of Kwan, I mean, what does that tell you? You know, okay, I guess we're playing for the next year, if not the next one after that. But I think that you know, again, it just motivates players when someone's out there believing in them. And you can say it all you want, but you're right. They actually they walked the walk and said, no, we're not getting rid of this guy. We believe in this group, and this is what you get, you know. And I think the schedule obviously has a lot to do with it, but still, you know, I mean, you're playing baseball. Anybody can win any night, unless it's against the Rockies or the White Sox. But anyway, I think all of that goes back to just these, you know, someone's out there saying, hey, man, these guys can play. So criticize them all you want, but they're going to take us there, and Vogt almost has them there.
Chris Ossenheimer joining us. Chronicle Telegram is where you can read him on the fan hotline. The weird thing, though, and I got to give Andy credit for this one because he was the one who pointed this one out. On Wednesday, they only played like 9 guys in a lineup and weren't actually like switching and platooning everything. Is that just a coincidence, or has maybe something changed that they've realized they actually need to let these guys get consistent at-bats?
Well, I don't think anything's changed. I think that was just a coincidence because, as Stephen Vogt continues to say, this is what we do. We play everybody. So I don't think there's a change in philosophy there. But listen, if he gets 9 guys who are at least holding their own, then it makes no sense to change anyway. I mean, I think he's gotten to a point where he's going to play Kyle Manzardo every night or at least close to that, which is a great thing. But then you got a guy like David Fry who looks like he might be finding a little something. So I think they're still going to go with the everyday, you know, I mean, he said it less than a week ago. We got 2 everyday guys. That's Kwan and Jose. So, I mean, I think this is the philosophy that he's instilled. Like this is we play everybody, and this is how we get it done. So I don't think there's going to be you're going to see the same lineup moving forward, unless they're all, like I said, if they're hitting and they're not a liability in that lineup, then they're still certainly they're going to be out there.
Are the Tigers on your radar? Because I had a month ago they were not. And now that you're only 6 games back, I still don't – 6 games is still a lot of games. But you do have Detroit, coming up in September? 6 times? So you still play them 6 times. Should they be on the radar?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm just making sure. But you know, I mean, as well as I do, man, you can look at 6 games today on August 8th, sure. And you'll be like, oh, 6 games, that seems really doable. But then you realize you either have to beat them straight up or pray that you win and they lose on any given night.
Right. But, I mean, look at what they – what look. I mean, they were 15.5 game lead. And, you know, it's trimmed down to this. So it's like, why can't this happen? And you're looking at the way that both teams are playing. You know, Detroit's struggling, and you know they're questioning themselves now. And the Guardians are the best team in the American League, and they're confident, you know, so that's working for you as well. And I got to tell you, listen, what they've done has been great the last 2 years. But, I mean, the Tigers lineup, it really doesn't scare me at all. And I know they had 3 all-star starters. I get that. Torkelson, Riley Green, that's great. But, like, you look at that lineup, and I don't know. That doesn't scare me. Kwan and Hosey are better than anybody in that lineup. So, I don't know. And even if they don't, at least, like, think about what this is going to – you know, Detroit's going to remember this, regardless of if they win the division. It's not going to feel the same way as it would have if they would have won by 10 games.
Hunter Gaddis making you scared at all when he starts coming in there, Ossie, because every time he steps up, I'm always kind of like, okay, here, we'll see what happens on this one. And that's a dude who last year was just nails. And, you know, maybe it's just bullpens are fickle.
Yeah, well, I think that might be a little bit something. Look at Tim Herron. I mean, he was a huge part of that bullpen last year, and now he's in AAA. But Gaddy, you're right. I mean, it hasn't been the same season, which I guess you can't ask him to duplicate what he did last year because that was lights-out stuff. But, you know, you saw it in the postseason. He struggled a bit there, you know, against the Yankees. I can't remember what he did against Detroit, but I know he gave up a couple bombs, I think, in the ALCS. I don't know. I think it's not like there's nothing noticeable about what he's doing outside of he's getting hit and putting guys on base a little bit more than he did last year.
This was a fun exercise we did yesterday, Chris. Name the three starters you would use in a playoff series.
But that, I mean, Gavin Williams, Ciccone, and Bibee. I mean, I think that's it. I mean, I don't think there's any question about any of those guys. Bibee, obviously, for the experience. Gavin Williams, because he's probably the best pitcher among the three. And Slade Ciccone, just because he's been so consistent once he found that early groove. And I mean, Logan Allen doesn't come into play. And now that Bieber's gone, he's not a factor. So, yeah, those three, I would assume, would be my starters.
Credit where credit's due on Logan Allen, though, man, because
sure.
I initially saw him and thought, oh, here's the next Josh Tomlin. Okay, this will be fun. He'll be a fifth starter. He'll eat some innings. Man, there's more in there than what we had with Josh Tomlin. So, you know, hats off to him.
No, I agree wholeheartedly. His problem always has been nitpicking and walking guys and then having to come over the heart of the plate. And, you know what happens when that happens. But, yeah, I agree with what your assessment. I mean, I didn't think he, you know, after watching him, we had enough of a look at him where you could say you can at least make an early opinion on that. And it did look like he was going to be an average pitcher that just – doesn't throw hard, that soft toss and lefty who's giving up runs. If you don't throw strikes, I mean, he's going to give up runs, and he's going to give up home runs. But at least when you're not walking guys, there's not guys on base. So, but a great season for him as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I don't think you asked this question, so I want to make sure I didn't step on you. But just Class A Ortiz.
I was going to ask the same question, okay, except mine was going to be obligatory suspended pitcher question.
No, mine was actually not the obligatory. Mine was locker cleaned out, nameplate gone. How much are they hated by the front office right now? Because we've seen guys like that will have their locker up there forever as long as there's a glimmer of hope that they could come back at some point. And with these guys, I mean, nameplate gone. Makes me think that not only are you gone, but the front office is completely steamed, and they should be, let's be honest.
For sure. I think that's either they have gotten word through MLB that these guys aren't going to be coming back, just so you know, so prepare for that if you do make the postseason. And, yeah, of course the front office and the manager, and I think the other part of it is the players in there. I'm sure, you know, I don't know that this happened. I don't know who ultimately makes that decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of those players, namely Austin Hedges, went to the manager and said, hey man, get this out of here. This is bad vibe. We don't need this in here. And, you know, just to forget about them, put them in the rearview mirror because it's likely they're not coming back this year. So
it almost reminds me of the Mrs. Phelps puzzle piece in the movie Major League. Like it sucks that you lose a closer of how good he is, but the way they lost him almost becomes a motivator for the rest of that team, doesn't it?
For sure.
Yeah.
All of that leads in, you know, I mean, and gosh, just, I mean, we're talking about this team now, but what a blow. We didn't even talk about the fact that they were probably going to trade Class A.
Yeah.
And geez, you know, we could be looking at three like mega prospects on our radar in the next couple of years, but instead, no. So yeah, he's cost. I mean, you know what? Because he's so good, if he somehow came through this, which I don't think he's going to at all.
Right.
I don't even know if he'll ever pitch again, to tell you the truth. I don't think he will. I really don't. Seems like they have a lot more evidence on him than they do Luis Ortiz. I'm not saying Luis Ortiz isn't guilty as well, but, I mean, they have like 11 or 12 pitches on Class A. Yeah, all of this is a motivating thing. And then the talk that they've heard all season long, how their lineup stinks, and they're not doing anything. They didn't do anything after the ALCS. And you can still knock them for that. I get that. But no one, when they were in that 10-game losing streak, no one thought this was going to happen. They thought season over, that's it. Votes riding with these guys, and the old ride or die, well, he's going to die because these guys are not good. And they changed they turned the tables.
They changed the narrative, my friend. And as you know, you're always a great
read.
That's
what I was going for.
Yep.
See, once again, this is why AB's a pro and I'm an amateur. He had a real question, and I just wrote obligatory suspended pitcher question.
Listen, Dan, you just need to know one thing. When it comes to the Guardians, or before when it was the Indians, there is no better read. He is a great read. Even if you don't read the column, he is still a great read all the time. He is Chris Sossenheimer.
I think you dropped 5 great reads there, Dan.
Do I let him in on the inside joke or no? Without no. David names?
Go ahead.
All right. So, Chris, I'll make sure this is right. So, Chris was a regular on a TV show here in town every once in a while. Fair? Right? So far, so good? And somebody used to, did they always introduce you as a great read, and you knew they never read the column, right?
Yes. I should have been like, yeah, how do you know? It's all right, man.
Everybody's now you've been on with me for 13 years with us on the show, and I say you're a great read every time, and no one ever probably knew why. I'm just like, oh, he must be a really good read. Now you're all in on the inside joke.
We got Zach Meisel. He says that to me every time that he hears me or knows that I'm going on. He's like, I hear you're a great read. So, yeah.
Does he know the background of the story or no?
No, okay. He just knows you say that all the time.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, no. All right, hey, have a great weekend, my friend. It should be fun for this team, and I hope you get to cover them for into the postseason, and we're talking about them all the time. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, dude. Talk soon.
Hours. All right, we're going to talk all about the Browns and their big game tonight, first preseason game. Shedeur Sanders is going to start. Chris Rose is going to play-by-play on the Browns preseason television network, and, of course, all those games are on NFL Network as well. And if he does John Boy Media stuff. He does a ton of stuff. So, and of course, he is the pride of Shaker Heights and University School. Chris Ossenheimer from the Chronicle Telegram was just with us. And if you missed any of that interview, go to the Odyssey app. You can check it out and hear what he had to say.
Dan. Also, 20 minutes, the latest from Daryl Ryder.
Daryl Ryder. That's right. Yep. I got to write that down. Daryl Ryder coming up at what, 12:40?
Yep.
12:40.
Get the latest of what's going on with the Browns and all that good stuff. It's going to be a fun one. This weekend series is going to be fun, too, by the way, for the Guards.
I think so, too. Also, I want to remind you, 1:40 today, we will do quick predicts. Tell us the score of tonight's game and then give us the headline for tomorrow, Monday morning. So it doesn't really matter. Just give us the next day's headline, which would be tomorrow. I don't know how you give a score for a preseason game. I think the headline's way more fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, just pick two random numbers because, as we all know, you know, the points don't matter.
Ready?
It's just how everybody looks.
Sanders sizzles in primetime.
See, now if you listen closely, you could probably hear a whole bunch of people scratching one out off of the piece of paper that they had in front of them, having to start over from scratch.
Who else? Do you think anybody else that has that one? Sanders sizzles in primetime.
I mean, or you could quick turn it into Samson. You know, you started with an S.
Well, that's true. It's got to be a primetime. Not ready for primetime, ready for primetime. Sanders proves he's ready for primetime. Sanders a not ready for primetime player. Can't you see that?
I can see it. I can see it. I can see it.
All right, so we'll do that a little bit later in the show.
Take it away from people who thought of that before you.
Oh, that we have some unbelievably creative folks that listen to us. And
poor Myrv Albert isn't going to know what to do. The I guy is going to be all.
We got to hope that they're even around. I mean, we got to shake the tree a little bit to make sure everyone knows what's going on.
Good point.
I mean, yes, you would assume during a regular season game that we'd be doing quick predicts. If it is an epic failure, though, we will not do quick predicts for the rest of the preseason. Just so you know that. How many times have we sat here? And by the way, does Jeff hate quick predicts? Let's be honest.
I don't think he hates it. I just
there's other segments we do that sometimes I see him and he just kind of rolls his eyes and he's like, oh, all right, I'll let the kids be kids.
I you know what? I wonder if some of it is that. I think some of it is that the Phelps brain can't compute the nonsense.
How do you think he feels about Browns Therapy Monday?
I think he is somewhat for it. And then he is also, again, the Phelps brain cannot compute.
Maybe. Is it just that it's been labeled or just that he doesn't understand that it is now an almost decade and a half tradition in Northeast Ohio? Like, I know that I've been on shows across the country and he's like, do you guys still do Browns Therapy Monday? I said, have the Browns won the Super Bowl yet? And they'll be like, no. I'll be like, then we are still doing Browns Therapy Monday.
That's the bar? We leave therapy after the Super Bowl?
And then I have to explain like I do to everybody. Like, I don't understand why people think therapy is a bad thing. It drives me nuts. Such a bad stereotypical thing. Again, when the Browns win,
you're 100% right there.
We ask people to get it off your chest. If you feel great about the team, you know what? Let everybody know you feel great about the team. If you're upset about the fact that they couldn't get a play in on time or they had a ton of pre-snap penalties or you hated a call and you want to get that off your chest, okay, well, get it off your chest. It's therapy. Therapy. Like I think we all feel better when we get stuff off our chest. Or get cash in the bank. Either one of those.
I was just about to respond.
Those two things are, I think cash in the bank is a little bit better. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to do a little bit of that.
Magical grand showing up makes life a lot better.
All right.
Heck, magical $10 showing up makes life a lot better.
That's true. Can you get me up to speed too? If you want to call in, you're more than welcome. 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder is going to join us here in just a little bit. I kind of need just a tinge of a break from the Browns right now.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about them like crazy. All right. So you said, and this is, again, this is, is it Sportsian? Maybe. New King of the Hill's out. How do they update that?
So Hank left Arlen and has.
Wait, are you giving anything away by doing any of this? Or is
no.
it?
Okay. Oh, you can catch us in the promo. I mean, it's King of the Hill. It feels like the old King of the Hill that you watched forever and a half of, you know, such a fish out of water type of thing of, you know, Hank Hill sees the world in this specific means.
Can I backtrack? Were you a Beavis and Butthead fan?
Yes.
Okay.
Still am. In fact, new season of that coming soon.
Did. Like, I was not a huge Beavis and Butthead fan. Like, I was like, okay, I thought it was old after.
You can only handle so much of that.
Yeah, by the way, as crazy as Phelps is sometimes, he loves Beavis and Butthead.
Jeff has a very silly sense of humor.
And maybe it's, I don't know why it would be. We'll ask him on Monday when he comes back.
Yeah, Jeff has a very twisted sense of humor.
He does. And so, you know, you look at this, and then King of the Hill came out, and this is years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been 30 years?
Yeah, it's got to be something close to that, because it hadn't been on the air for about, I think it was like 13 or something.
My wife and I used to watch it all, before we were even married, we'd sit and watch. By the way, happy birthday, honey. Thank you.
Today's congratulations.
Your birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Baskin. Enjoy the dinner.
So, what makes this new version of King of the Hill better?
Better? I don't know if I would say...
Or just what makes it different?
Yeah, I wouldn't say better. I would just say kind of... It's picking up where the old King of the Hill took off. Hank is, you know, back in Ireland, and the world has changed, and Bobby has grown up, and Connie has grown up, and, you know, Dale is still there. Boomhauer is still there. You know, Hank's now retired and trying to figure out the world now that he's retired from work and trying to find how to pass the time. And it's just an ever-changing world and a man looking around, not exactly understanding why things have changed. It's very fun. You know, in the same way that the old King of the Hill was an absolute blast, the new King of the Hill, if you were a fan of the old one, the new one fits right into it. And you'll enjoy it greatly.
All right. So
it's not a total nostalgia fest or anything like that either. It's just, it feels like here's a new season of King of the Hill.
They had to put some new voices in there, though, right?
Yeah, because guy that did Dale's voice passed away, the guy who, John Redcorn, passed away as well. And so they've had to kind of get some new voices in there on top of that. Dale's voice, you can tell, is different from, I think it was Johnny Hardwick, I think is his name.
Yeah.
His voice, you can tell, is different. I haven't ran into, I'm only like 6 episodes in. So, still getting through, but...
All right, what else are you binging right now?
Finished up the new season of Wednesday, the first 4 episodes of that.
I have not gotten into that
at all. It's very good.
All right.
If you like kind of the horror murder mystery with the Addams Family tinge in there, you'll enjoy it greatly. If you enjoyed the Addams Family and kind of like the mystery side of things too,
yeah,
Wednesday's perfect. Jenny Ortega is awesome as Wednesday, and Thing steals the show. Thing is great. Like, you get excited when you see the hand walk through and through the screen because things are going to get funny.
There was something else. Sonny. Sonny's new again. New Sonny. I started watching Sonny a little bit.
Have you been watching? Are you caught up?
Yeah, I've not watched this week. I'll watch this week's episode. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet.
Yeah, because they've been doing kind of what they did the last season where they're doing two in a row. You know, it turns into like the full hour of Sonny. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, I feel like it's now become a little more hit or miss. Like, when it hits, it's fantastic. And then you'll get a clunker in between there.
It is amazing how they can make a cake look like a person, though, isn't it?
That was the hardest I have laughed at that show in a while.
It was funny.
That was such a turn. I was dying.
I heard Larry David's doing another new show.
Yeah, he's doing something history related.
Yeah, how funny could that be?
Oh, it's, I don't know.
I don't know.
I trust Larry David to make it funny. I mean, goodness, History of the World's outstanding. That the season that they did on Hulu, that became hit or miss. But the movie itself, at least the first three quarters of it, was really funny.
Do we even want to walk down the South Park road? I kind of don't. I'll be honest with you. I have not watched South Park in years. And I heard a lot of the things about the first one. I was like, I just want to see this. And I was like, wow. Like, yeah. There is nothing they won't torch.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the blowtorch trigger is permanently held down on that show and has been held down for the last 30 years.
It is unbelievable.
They don't blowtorch anything. It's fantastic. It's all up for grabs with that show. But I think that's it. I think that's all I'm watching right now. I can't really report back anything else.
I'm looking forward to it. When Silo comes back, that was good. We're big Outlander fans. Guys, if you're looking for just something, if you're looking for good date night stuff, Outlander rocks. It rocks from every perspective. Like, if you're just, especially if you're not looking for like gigantic humor, like I could sit there and watch idiot shows all day long, but the best date night show you could ever watch, Outlander. Like, and then there's like a spinoff now. So there's a new one. So the second part of Outlander's coming out, and then there's another show called Blood in My Blood coming out. So I can't believe that I even know some of this stuff. And I'm just giving you recommendations, man. You want to, there are days when you want to buy flowers, start watching that with them, and you'll be like, oh, you'll be like, damn, Baskin was right.
And I'm through the first half of Happy Gilmore too, and
God, you haven't watched the whole movie?
No, I still haven't watched the whole movie. I'll get there.
It's the best thing to happen to golf since Tiger Woods.
Well, I heard the same thing about that Owen Wilson show that I can't remember right now.
It's not Divot. It's
something along those lines. I can't think of it right now. But
all right, let's take a quick time out. We'll come back. Daryl Ryder's going to get us up to speed on tonight's game. Baskin Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
And of course, Daryl Ryder joins us, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, brother?
Hey, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
You ready?
As ready as I'm ever going to be, Baskin.
Got your pencil sharpened?
No.
You got your pens ready to go?
No. I just got my four eyes.
Yeah?
And my TV locked in, ready to roll.
You a quill and ink guy? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. No. I'm a committed to memory guy.
I can see you as a quill and ink guy.
I like to, and like many a former Browns head coach, I do like to watch the tape after.
Oh, good for you. Now you know what every answer is going to be for Monday when you have to talk to all the questions. Well, you know, guys, great question. You asked me, how did Shedeur Sanders play? I got to be honest, I got to watch the tape. How'd that one rookie look? Oh, he's got to watch the tape. What else? Hey, I got to go tape up in the trainer's room. Listen, Daryl, what do you want to see tonight? What's a win tonight for this team? And I'm not talking about points on the board.
Shedeur coming out and executing the offense flawlessly. Smooth operation, move the football, get some points on the board if opportunities present itself. You know, obviously decision-making is going to be important, but you know, this is a tremendous opportunity for Shedeur to show the Browns that having him right now cemented as the number four quarterback is not the way to go, and that he should get additional opportunities. So, obviously, all eyes on Shedeur, but there's a lot of things to watch tonight besides just the rookie fifth-round pick.
So what would those be, in your opinion?
The other rookies.
I guess, yes. Yeah. Other rookies. Yeah. Describe. Yeah.
Mason Graham, who nobody's talking about, and he's having a very good camp. Carson Schlesinger, yeah, people are talking about him. Everyone's talking about him. Might be the JOK replacement. And one of my favorite rookies, Harold Fannin Jr., the kid from Bowling Green they drafted, the tight end. I like him a lot, and I'm excited to see him play. So, look, I'm going to be paying an awful lot of attention to these rookies just because I feel like this is a group of young players that can positively contribute on the field this season. Well, outside the quarterback position. I don't have any expectation there. But these other kids, I think that they're going to be able to play a major role in 2025.
All right, so we are expecting to see all the rookies tonight? Yes or no? I would say yes, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, not Quinshon Judkins. He's not signed.
Okay, so. I'm sorry. Anybody who's eligible, sorry.
All eligible rookies, yeah. I mean, I would anticipate that they, you know, get some burn, including these, you know, these undrafted free agents. Gage LeVarden's having himself a great camp. Floria, the kid from Kent State, is having a pretty good camp. I think both of those players have an uphill climb to make the 53-man roster, but as we've talked about, Andy, in the past, like, this isn't a 53-man roster. Andrew Berry approaches it like a 69-man roster. You have your active 48 on game day, then obviously your active 53, and then your practice squad gets you back up to 69 there. But I think both those two receivers, while it's going to be tough for them to make the team, I think they're absolutely bona fide practice squad players with opportunity to get bumped up on game days to the active roster when needed, if needed.
Should fans have a level of frustration at the fact that you're not going to see any of the veteran starters in this game?
It's the preseason. No.
Okay.
You want to get to the preseason as healthy as possible, and knock on wood, during Kevin Stefanski's tenure, this is what he does. For the most part, yeah, I know, you know, we've had Grant Delpit go down in training camp before. Obviously, this year, losing MJ Emerson, which is a, you know, pretty significant blow there. They've lost a player here and there, but by and large, they've been able to contain a lot of the soft tissue injuries and get guys back from them and on the field in time for week one. So Stefanski does a good job taking care of his players through what I believe to be just an unnecessarily long training camp in preseason process here. But I don't have any gripe with him not playing the key players, the veteran players. And you know what? Here's why. Because if one of those guys gets hurt, which, by the way, we're not only seeing in training camp, we're seeing in preseason games already, guys are getting hurt. If any of those players got hurt, what are you guys going to be hearing the next day? Exactly. Kevin Stefanski's an idiot. Why would you think about playing these guys? Now they're hurt, this, that, and the other, right? So I don't have any problem with Kevin, taking these first two preseason games to evaluate the middle to back end of the roster. And then, of course, third preseason game, got to get a dress rehearsal in.
Is Luke Floria the toast of the town, or is it Gage Larvidan? Is it Larvidan, right? Yeah.
I think, well, as I said, both of those guys are practice squad candidates, Andy. They're not going to make the roster, but as I mentioned, they are they're definitely practice squad candidates. But and then obviously when you're on the practice squad, you got a shot to be active for game day.
I mean, you always know, right? We always have this. There's always a player that jumps off the page during these preseason games, and people are like, oh my God, they're great.
Look, those guys are neck and neck for camp MVP. Unsung hero, unknown guy, MVP. Right. Like, I mean, you know, they're the William Gay of the 2025 training camp, right? But again, and I am anticipating they're only keeping five receivers anyway because they're going with the 12 personnel.
Man, I just can't see it.
These receivers aren't good. They've got three receivers.
But can they tackle? Can they play special teams? That's my question. Yeah,
I know. And that's what's going to be the deciding factor when you're talking about your third or your fourth running back, third tight end, your sixth wide receiver, even the fifth wide receiver. Like, those are all going to be factors.
All right, Daryl, And, of course, Daryl Ryder joining us on the fan hotline. And, of course, all of his hits powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Anytime you hear Daryl on the station here. I got to go back to the quarterback thing with Shedeur Sanders and how this is all going to look. Do you expect him to look overwhelmed in like the beginning of this game and then kind of find his footing as the talent on the defensive side goes? And how much should we judge him against the first team and second team Carolina Panther defense?
I don't know what to expect tonight, and that's why my curiosity has peaked, Dan. I have no idea what to expect. And therefore, I'm not putting any expectations on him. I'm not putting limitations on him. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride and see what happens. Because the fact that he's going against the first team Panther defense, I think that's a good thing. I think that gives you a pretty good barometer there. Obviously, the supporting cast around him, they got to block for him. They got to, you know, when the ball's thrown to him, they got to catch it right and all those type of things. I'm evaluating Shedeur on how crisp things run and are the throws on target. Okay, it's not his fault if guys drop footballs, so can't hold that against him. I know everyone's going to look at the completion percentage, like some folks have been doing throughout training camp, tracking the completions for all these quarterbacks and 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. But I'm going to be looking at the mechanics of the position more so the actual completion percentages in that. And then also, too, you know, what does he look like in situations down and distance, third and long or third and short, red zone, things like that. That's where, for me, the evaluation with Shedeur comes in. It's not just about his completion percentage.
I'm looking at this similarly. Daryl, have you seen floating around this whole thing of he's being put in a lose-lose type of situation?
I posted on X yesterday. It's the I cover the Browns, so like I should be immune to stupidity, but that is
that's the t-shirt.
The top end of it. Is these folks getting on social media saying that the Browns drafted Shedeur Sanders only so that they could sabotage him. This is a great conspiracy because the Browns ruin quarterbacks and they are the perfect team to ruin this guy's career, and it's being done intentionally. It might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I've heard a lot of really, really dumb stuff over the years, but that's near the top. I'm not going to sit here and rank the dumb stuff I've heard, but that's right up there. The reason Shedeur is the fourth quarterback is because that's what they're observing from him in comparison to the other three guys. He's not as far along as the other three guys in their eyes. My eyes, your eyes, fans' eyes don't matter, okay? The keyboard warrior's eyes don't matter. It's what the organization evaluates, and that's where their evaluation is right now. And as I said earlier, he's got an opportunity to change the opinion of the organizational evaluation as far as where he is at. Does he operate within the offense? Does he run it the right way? Or are all his plays because, I said this with the morning show this morning, is he's going Jonathan Moxon and just making it up as he goes along just to make stuff happen, right? Well, if that happens, that doesn't mean the Browns going to be happy with that because it's not within the structure of what Stefanski wants, right? And we don't know. It's just, like I said, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride tonight, and let's see what this kid's made of.
All right, Daryl, looking forward to it. I was going to ask some questions about Dylan Gabriel, but I'm going to pass. I heard what you had to say for most of the week on that. So I don't think the fan club's going to be calling you anytime soon. Going on a limb, that's all.
I will say this. I'm a little disappointed we don't get to see him tonight.
I want to see him too.
So hopefully we get to see him next week in Philadelphia against the defending champs. But I would like to see Dylan Gabriel in some live reps, no question about it.
All righty. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.